Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Caval slash Loki slash whatever else he went by was literally just released by the WWE. What the hell happened here, Aaron?
I have no idea, but the early reports are saying two things. They're saying that it was mutual and that they didn't have anything for him. And, you know, we know that because on SmackDown, they've been doing absolutely nothing with him. So they're saying they had nothing for him. But there are also some reports saying that he was a little bit of a handful backstage. So, and by handful, I mean, like, he was kind of a little bit of a prima donna. Like, he was kind of hard to work with in a way, which is unfortunate because you and I are both big fans of his.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Kind of sad news, at least to me. I'm kind of disappointed that he's no longer with the WWE. He won NXT Season 2, and then nothing happened with him afterwards. We even joked about it. We're like, hey, what's Caval doing? Absolutely nothing. But what's really sad is that this is only 2 days before Christmas. That's really sad. I'm kind of disappointed with the WWE in a way. So, anyway, so SmackDown's, their ratings were up when they aired on USA instead of Sci-Fi. Now, is this going to be something that we're going to start seeing now, Aaron, or is this just a one-time thing?
I don't think it's just because they aired on USA. I think USA, it had something to do with it. But I think that Tuesday night might be a better night than Friday night because, let's face it, Friday nights are kind of – they're void of any type of television, and there's a reason for that. You know, I mean, people don't stay at home on Friday nights to watch television. People are going to go out and do something, you know. That's why you don't see television on Saturday nights. You know, so I think what may happen is you may actually see WWE making a I don't want to say push, but there's definitely going to be talks now because, I mean, the ratings went up quite a bit and this is a holiday season. So I don't know.
Neither do I, but I'm actually kind of excited to see what they're going to go from here. I mean, because I wouldn't mind having wrestling on Monday. You know, you have to do it Monday, Tuesday. And honestly, they should just have a recap show on Friday. That's what they really should do, and then have like almost have like that and Superstars be the same show. But, you know, I'm just wondering how much longer Superstars is going to be airing on WG in America. You know,
well, I mean, if it's making them any type of money, they're going to keep airing it.
Yeah,
but the thing is, you know, I mean, sometimes it's best not to do something like that because, you know, the big thing is you're going to alienate wrestling fans. And if you put too much wrestling on them at once, they're going to get burnt out quicker. But wrestling fans who only see it, you know, like if you only had Raw and you had TNA and they were on Monday and Thursday, you're not going to get burnt out as much, you know, or as fast.
True. Or maybe it's just a one-time thing. You never know. But anyway, so TNA, they may start touring, which is news to me because I thought they were already touring.
Well, they're talking about actually having Impact tour. So it won't always be in Orlando, which would be interesting. You know, to like, you know, all of a sudden they're going to have Impact in D.C. You know, they're going to have Impact in New Jersey and in Philadelphia. And I think that'd be kind of interesting. I think it would be a really good idea, too, because the thing about touring, especially for a smaller promotion, you're going to have more wrestling fans live on the East Coast than anywhere else in the U.S. I mean, there are some obviously like in the Midwest, like in Illinois and, you know, Indiana and stuff like that. But the East Coast has diehard wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we learned
I can see them doing that.
Well, especially the anywhere in Philly, based on that Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, entire area, they're all about wrestling. Big, big, big wrestling fans. So, but yeah. So, Paul London attacks Matt Hardy on the internets. I did not hear about this, so you have to explain.
So he called out Matt Hardy. He was basically calling him a whiny little kid. He was a brat, and that anytime he wants to step into a real ring and have a real fight, he'll do that. So he was calling him out. He was calling him all these types of names, and you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, Paul London, he was a flash in the pan. You know, I mean, Matt Hardy had been around for a very long time. And, you know, even though he'll go to TNA and do his thing there, people will still, like, talk about Matt Hardy, you know, a decade after he retires. Paul London, on the other hand, though, they won't talk about him. There are people may remember him a little bit in the same way that they remember, oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone really bad. How about Hercules? And the same way that they'll remember people, if you say the name Hercules, the wrestler, people will be like, oh, that guy. Yeah. Huh. He was interesting.
Yeah, Hercules. I forgot about him.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think Paul Lennon's kind of in the same boat. And I think the reason why he did this, you know, maybe he just doesn't like him. But at the same time, I think he kind of did a little bit for attention. So.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. So Cena versus Punk is planned for WrestleMania now. Why aren't they doing Orton now? That's what I'm still surprised about this.
So, you know, they like to change their plans all the time. And there was a lot of talk about Cena versus Orton. There'd be a big buildup to WrestleMania. It'd be over the past 5 months, basically. And then they were also talking about Daniel Bryan taking on CM Punk. Well, obviously, you know, they can talk about it all they want, but Punk apparently has really impressed Vince McMahon. Vince is incredibly high up on Punk. And so he wants to have Punk over Cena at WrestleMania. Like, he wants to put Punk over. Mm. So Punk is going to win at WrestleMania. I almost guarantee it. I'm interested in seeing where this is going to go, because they have such contrasting styles, you know?
That is true. It's, Punk is more of a kind of a shooter, kind of like a Vol, Bryan Danielson. I'm sorry, Daniel Bryan. that's kind of weird. The thing is, though, CM Punk can adjust in the ring, and so can Cena. So, I mean, I think they're good enough where they can adjust to that person's style, which will be nice. I agree. But anywho, so let's go on to the tables, ladders, and chairs. Oh, my pay-per-view. First, I think it was actually the opening match. Dolph Ziggler decides to retain the title, but he does it and messes it up at the same time. What happened was the title was grabbed. It fell to the ground, and actually Dolph Ziggler was supposed to, or Nikki was supposed to pick it up before it hit the ground, but apparently there was a little bit of an issue. So I was kind of surprised that, you know, they kind of went with it. But, you know, what is the rule when no one has a title yet and it just falls? You know what I mean?
It was an incredibly stupid, like, way to end the match. I mean, in a ladder match, you don't have it end in that way. It makes everyone involved look stupid. It really does, because they fought and they put their bodies on the line for nothing. They really did. I mean, when you take a look at the Edge, Kane, you know, Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio ladder match, TLC match, I should say, that was a good match. And if it ended that way, everyone put their bodies on the line for nothing. Mm-hmm. And luckily it didn't, you know, Edge became the, you know, world heavyweight champion, but I don't know. I mean, I was a little miffed at it, you know, and I think that it really hurts everyone involved. Mm-hmm. So, but one thing that didn't hurt people was the other ladder match which was Morrison taking on Sheamus. Morrison won to become the number one contender. Do you like this?
Great match. Got to think Sheamus and Morrison worked together. Like, ridiculously good. It was so good.
I was surprised.
Well, yeah, because Sheamus, I still says sucks. But for some reason, they just worked really well together. They put the match over. It was really, really good. I was surprised about it. I'm still, even thinking about it now, I'm surprised. It's just amazing. I'm just still surprised.
I like the ending, too.
Very good. Yep. Very, very good. So Miz retains in an Eddie Guerrero way. What do you mean by that?
So he, Randy Orton goes through, or doesn't actually go through the table. You know, Alex Riley does. The Miz puts Randy Orton in place where the table was and wakes up the ref and says, look, I won. So they give him the title back. But then the ref sees the replay and then he reverses his decision. And then Alex Riley accidentally puts Miz through a table, and so accidentally puts Randy Orton through a table, so Miz retains.
Yeah, which was stupid. Well, if you want to make him, and the thing is, that match was what, the third or fourth match on the pay-per-view? It wasn't even the main event. It wasn't even the second main event. It was the third main event, if you want to say that. That's a horrible.
Well, it kind of shows how much faith they have in The Miz. And to have John Cena be in the main event when it wasn't for the title, I think really kind of it ruined the pay-per-view a little bit for me. And I mean, they just, I was excited for the pay-per-view. I was really excited for this. And they just, they really botched it, in my opinion. So,
can we say,
you know, like, the I don't know if anyone ever goes on YouTube and watches Botch Mania. If you can, please go on there and watch it. It is freaking hilarious. But they should put this entire pay-per-view on there and just call it Botch Mania TLC, in my opinion.
Right, right.
Because they ruined the pay-per-view.
You know what? One thing that we didn't talk about, but I think we should say something about, the women's match, that's actually the ending it was supposed to have. They're supposed to go on there, the table was supposed to crack, and then Talia jumps on there for the win to retain her title, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I saw that too. I mean, we rarely talk about women's matches, you know? And like when I saw that, I thought that, you know, they messed up the finish and they were improvising, which is fine. I mean, that, you know, it was improvising. But
yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. So I got to give them credit.
Yeah. Now on Raw, we start off the show with Morrison and Miz being built up, you know, like the whole feud there. Obviously they were former tag team champions. They had a little bit of a feud last year, and Morrison is now the number one contender. Miz is the champion. Do you think that this is going to be a good feud?
Excellent feud. Because this, in a way, you can give John Morrison a title shot, and he can lose, but he'll lose to a heel. I think it actually could work in Morrison's favor. Not The Miz, because I think The Miz, after this title run is done, he's going to be like a Kane, probably never hold it again. And if he does, it's going to be like 11 years later. Nothing against Glenn Jacobs. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great wrestler. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous to give him the strap for like 3 months, you know? Anywho, but yeah, so I'm actually liking how this is going to be built up. It's going to be a good pay-per-view, Royal Rumble. I can't wait for it. In fact, I'm actually excited because now that I'm back to cable, we are actually going to be able to have – this will be the first pay-per-view that I can actually get in HD that won't cost me an extra $15 to get. So I'm actually really excited about it. And so I can't wait. Can't wait for Royal Rumble. And then so on Raw, something happened, and actually it was spoiled. Someone tweeted something out, which I was very mad about, saying, Punk attacks Cena. I'm like, oh, geez, great. And I thought that's how it was going. But yeah, so CM Punk decides to attack John Cena, basically because he doesn't like the way that he was doing things. But what I'm trying to figure out now is CM Punk can't wrestle. When is he actually supposed to be back?
Well, he actually worked a few matches. In my opinion, if they have them wrestle before Royal Rumble in any type of match, if they have Punk do it, it could really ruin their plans because Punk is kind of fragile. And if I were them, I would actually give him more time off just to make sure that he'll be available. Because if he misses WrestleMania, their plans are going to be in the toilet, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want him to miss WrestleMania. No way. Anywho, so that's really nothing really else happened on Raw. That's about it. So on SmackDown, the same thing happened. Punk attacks Cena again, but this was, of course, on Tuesday on USA, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
So what else happened on SmackDown, Andy?
Nothing.
So literally nothing happened on SmackDown is what you're telling me.
No, there was some stuff that happened, but it was realistically they just had another match with – was it Albert Del Rio and I can't remember who it was. Albert Del Rio, Rey Mysterio. They just had another one of those matches. That's it.
They've basically just been redoing all the same stuff over and over again. And it's actually kind of hurts it. And that's actually what happened on the Tribute to the Troops too. Mm-hmm. It was the exact same thing. The only difference was, and this wasn't aired, I don't believe, but DX returned. They made a surprise appearance at the very end.
Yep.
But, I mean, they didn't do anything. I mean, Triple H and Shawn Michaels come out. Their DX gear and they did nothing. So, I mean, it was kind of just something for the troops. But, you know, I actually wanted to talk about that just a little bit. I you have to give WWE a lot of credit for doing what they do. I mean, you know, in years past, they went over to Iraq and Afghanistan. This year, it was actually at home. But they're the only like real organization that does stuff like that. I mean, yeah, you know, you have USO stuff, you know, which is great. But I mean, to fly that many people to do all of that stuff, I think that's really big. And I mean, I think that speaks volumes about the WWE, and I really enjoy it.
So. And Cena goes over there quite a bit. That's the big thing. And that's your big moneymaker. He's, you know, you're taking a chance him flying on a plane all the way over there just to meet a couple people. But in reality, he's traveling the world, and a lot of these wrestlers are traveling the world. They've never been able to do so. So it's kind of nice, actually, in a way. But
I agree.
I'm actually happy for what they do for the troops, so it's really, really nice. Even if it gets those guys out for just a couple hours, they could see their wrestlers, meet them afterwards, great. And you don't hear about, like, you know, nothing. I love hockey, but you don't hear anything about hockey players, football players. You don't hear anything about those guys going over. And you always hear about the WWE going over, so I got, you know, got to give them credit. Give them credit where credit's due. So
exactly.
Anyway, so if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com is what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, with the other code POD149, when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer Sticker Supply, see site for details. TNA. Not much really happened. I mean, we got to see, what's her face? Birchall, whatever. Oh, Katie Lee, I think her name is now. She showed up. That was about it.
You know, the problem that TNA has this week is the same problem that SmackDown, Tribute to the Troops, and Raw had this week. It was the same stuff over and over again. And I understand, you're not going to get that much viewership. But, I mean, if that's going to be it, I mean, then just don't air it, you know? I mean, like, don't air it. I'm not going to want to watch it. You know, I fast-forwarded through the majority of all of these programs. So I probably watched 2 hours out of the eight total that were on this week. So,
you know, the sad thing is with CM Punk, since he probably won't be announcing anymore, I can start fast-forwarding again, and I think everyone's excited now because of it.
So, Andy, you know what we need to do now is talked about it last week.
We need to be able to get put on Wikipedia and talk about our wrestling awards that we're going to put out every year. This is actually the inaugural or the first annual of the OTM Awards. We have a bunch of we don't have a bunch of categories, but we have a couple. And I have mine. You have yours. And hopefully when we get famous and stuff, they put it on Wikipedia and they put my picks, your picks, and then the real picks, which are all my picks. All right. So I know this is just our fun time. All right. So the newcomer of the year, that could be into any organization.
Newcomer, you mean, like, for example, like there were people in NXT that were in FCW or that were even in Ring of Honor or TNA, but they were considered quote unquote newcomers.
Shakira, Dragon Gate USA, any of the organizations, Combat Zone, doesn't matter which one. We go through them all. Granted, there's some of the indie ones that I didn't go through because, well, they're just way too extreme. But Ring of Honor as well. I love Ring of Honor. Anyway, so the newcomer of the year for you, Aaron, is
Daniel Bryan.
I have to agree with you.
The thing is, you know, because I don't want to dwell on this, and you know, I know people are saying we're marks for him, but he really is a good wrestler, and very few people got to see him. And when they first saw him, you know, and saw him wrestle and saw what he could do, he really did deserve the title of newcomer of the year. And you know, our very first episode of Off the Mark was coincided with the very first episode of NXT, and I really like Daniel Bryan, and I know you did too, and we've liked him ever since. So
great wrestler, and I gotta give him credit. You know, he's fun to watch, he's exciting, he'll be the next big thing. He'll be bigger than Cena. I'm just saying this right now. Than Cena. All right, we'll put that
he will not be bigger than Cena. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so the best, we're gonna go this one we threw out there, you weren't sure of this. The best DVD of the year. Now, I watch a ton of these DVDs, mostly because at work I can get away with it. So the one DVD that I watched, that even after I watched it at work, I actually rewatched it, and it was really good. It was the John Cena Experience. I couldn't believe how good it was. It might almost top the Monday Night Wars. Almost. It's close second right now. So what's your DVD of the year?
High Flyers. the High Flyers DVD that WWE put out that showcased all of the greats, all the great cruiserweights.
Now, did you get to see they had the match? And I was like, man, I really hope they have the Kidman, and I thought it was Ray match or Juventud Guerrero, but it was Kidman and Juventud Guerrero, their match in World War III where they had the three rings and they hit every ring.
Yeah.
They had that match as one of the extra ones. I was like, oh, that is awesome. So that was a good DVD. I will say that was a good DVD too.
Now, this next one is one that I came up with. It's called Fallen from Grace. And what this means is it was a wrestler who was on top of the world, and then the following year they went straight down. Or that same year they went straight down. Think like Ultimate Warrior after WrestleMania 6, like into WrestleMania 7, you know, like when he basically just took a plummet. You know, like nobody liked him, you know, and they didn't have good stories for him, and he just went straight down. So I almost want to call this the Ultimate Warrior Award. except my pick for this is AJ Styles. He was on top of TNA this past year, and then he's just gone straight down. He was the main eventer, and now he's opening some pay-per-views. So he is my Fallen from Grace wrestler of the year.
That's a good one. I actually kind of have a tie, but mine's more not from the beginning of the year, but kind of like the mid-year and on. I couldn't decide which one of these two guys, so I had to give it to both of them. I'm going to give it to Sheamus and Matt Hardy, because Sheamus was on top, and then he just kind of went downhill, and he was like now he's down to a mid-card status instead of a higher mid-card. And I thought that was kind of weird, because he was just the champion. Mm-hmm. And then what happens to him? And Matt Hardy, he's more because of he was on top, and then he just kind of went nuts, you know. And mm-hmm. I hope what he's doing is just a complete gimmick, and it's not like, hey, I'm Matt Hardy, you should know me, one of those things. So,
okay.
Anywho,
okay.
So the most the most underrated wrestler of the year. See, this was a tough one too, and I have two guys that I had to pick because I think. See, that's the problem.
What is with this pick two thing?
I couldn't decide.
You can only pick one.
I know, but this is the only other one I have for two, and I sat there and fought.
Oh, only other one.
Dude, seriously, I fought this one. Okay. The most underrated superstar, there's two of them, Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston. There's no way I couldn't decide which one because Evan Bourne was doing so good, and then he would have been the only one if he didn't get hurt. But Kofi Kingston, I mean, what have they done with him? They haven't done anything with him, and it's kind of annoying. You'd think that they would do something with him, and he's just kind of there in matches over and over again, always doing a great job, and I don't know, it just makes me mad. So,
and Kofi is actually even was a contender for me for Fallen from Grace. I mean, just because, you know, last year they were slated to push him up, but he instead went straight down, and now he's fighting for the IC title.
Yeah, it's like it's like he ticks someone off. It's really a crap.
Like Randy Orton.
Like Randy Orton.
So my underrated wrestler of the year is it's a wild card. I think that this guy is one of the best, and I think that he has chance to be, if not champion, at least be high up there, and that's Kazarian. I think Kazarian is a great wrestler, and he's putting in his dues right now, but I think that he's somebody that could really go places.
That's a good one for TNA, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. So what's your OMG moment of the year?
My oh my god moment of the year, which is like something that happened in wrestling, not in the industry necessarily, but while you're watching like a pay-per-view or, you know, Raw or Impact. And I'm actually going to TNA again for this one. And it was when Angle did the moonsault off the top of the cage onto Anderson.
Ooh.
That was like, holy, you know.
My OMG moment is, as much as I don't want to say this, it had to have been when, Daniel Bryan got fired. It was like, what? He gets fired? You got to be kidding me. For what? Oh, because he choked some guy with his tie. And Chris Benoit used the crossface. Oh, geez. Big, big deal. So anyway, so that's all I really got to say about that. Wrestling industry news, our word for that. Got to go with Luna McMahon losing. That's what I got.
Interesting. I mean, that was kind of big. I mean, this award, the wrestling industry news, it was meant to be what was the biggest thing that happened in the wrestling world this year. And I mean, Linda McMahon losing was a big deal. I mean, even though it's not necessarily about wrestling, it has something to do with it. Mine was TNA moving to Monday nights. That was huge, huge news because, you know, they were trying to talk about, you know, competition's going to be bring out the best and everybody. But it wasn't just them moving to Monday. It was them moving to the 9 o'clock time slot, then to the 8 o'clock time slot, and then back to Thursday. So that was my wrestling industry news of the year because it was pretty big deal, you know. So,
all right, I'll give you that. All right, so feud of the year, I got to go with NXT versus Cena. I was pretty happy with it. It went a long time, so I gotta say that's definitely my feud of the year.
I thought about going with them. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I really couldn't. I went with the one that I thought probably was one of the best, and it wasn't that good. So, it, you know, I mean, criticize me all you want because it wasn't that good, and I understand that. But mine was Ken Anderson and Kurt Angle. So,
jeez.
I know. Well, the thing is, there weren't any other feuds that I saw that were like, oh, man, that was awesome. And the Sheamus John Morrison one was decent, but it, you know, it only lasted for a month, mm-hmm. you know, whereas this one lasted for, you know, a good two, almost 3 months. So,
mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Yeah. So wrestler of the year, I'm not happy about mine, but I got to go with it. It's John Cena.
And why are you going with it, Andy?
He's the wrestler of the year. As much as I don't like him, he's still the wrestler of the year. And as much as I want to sit there and bash him and bash him and bash him, he's still wrestler of the year.
I actually agree. That's who I had down for mine too. I had John Cena, and it was one of those things, you know, I wrote it down and I thought, well, maybe Randy Orton, but not really. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think that he did it. I love AJ Styles and he's a great, great wrestler, but it's wrestler of the year. It's not of a millennium, you know, or of the past 5 years or something like that. It is John Cena. John Cena was 2010.
Yeah, and also he's also the MVP of the organization too. If it wasn't for Cena, I think you'd have a lot of people, a lot more haters than what they already have. And it's just something about John Cena. I mean, you know, the fact that he doesn't know what a hammerlock is. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things.
The thing is, though, too, I mean, you know, if Cena wasn't around, somebody else would have been there. You know, if Hulk Hogan wasn't around, somebody else would have been there to step up. It may not have been as big, but still someone else would have been there to step up. But I think that Cena is in a way like Hulk Hogan, where someone would have stepped up, but it would not be as big as having Cena there. So
that's true. That's true. And a lot of people like Cena, too.
And he's rolling with the punches, too. I mean, you know, he went on during the ruthless aggression period, you know, during the, you know, the end of the Attitude Era. And he's maintained, you know, he's been there the whole time. He's done what they asked him to do. And he's continuing to do it. And without Cena, WWE would not be what it is in 2010 without him.
Nope. So that's why he's the wrestler of the year. Or I guess MVP. All right, guys, next week we are having our Ready to Rumble special where we talk about the greatest wrestling movie of all time, starring David Arquette. And we'll feature great people like myself, Aaron, and we're bringing a special guest, John Ochi, in because he is a big, big fan of the movie. So anyways, well, looks like that's all the time we got for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download the show. And until next time, we're tagging out.